Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And to celebrate our 30th anniversary at NPR, this week's show is All Requests. This month, we're doing a series of special shows to mark our longevity and NPR's failure to maintain its standards. And today, we're asking which calls most stuck with you. I consider that the ones that stuck with me were the ones that led to lawsuits and significant loss of personal assets. But you guys obviously felt differently. So our first listener request is for a news item my brother found in some new little newspaper called The Onion.
Back to the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and of all things, foreign aid.
Yes, and this comes to us by way of the news desk. Here's the news. Clinton deploys vowels to Bosnia. Cities of Zbrzeszcz and Grzni to be the first recipients. Before an emergency joint session of Congress yesterday, President Clinton announced U.S. plans to deploy over 75,000 vowels to the war-torn region of Bosnia.
Really?
The largest of its kind in American history, will provide the region with the critically needed letters A, E, I, O, and U, and is hoped to render countless Bosnian names more pronounceable. Here's a quote, he said. Clinton said, "For 6 years we've stood by while names like Jugoslavia and Zlidnia and Glum have been horribly butchered by millions around the world. Today the United States must finally stand up and say, enough. It is time the people of Bosnia finally had some vowels in their incomprehensible words. The U.S. is proud to lead the crusade in this noble endeavor." The deployment, named Operation Vowel Storm by the State Department. who writes this stuff? I mean, it's
well, it is.
It's so.
It is a much needed endeavor.
For early next week with the Adriatic port cities of Zbrzeszcz and Grzni. The two C-130 transport planes, each carrying 524-count boxes of ease. We'll fly from Andrews Air Force Base across the Atlantic and airdrop the letters over the cities. The citizens of Grzni and Zbrzeszcz eagerly await the arrival of the vowels. "My God, I don't think we can last another day," said Zdrzejczyk. Said Trushki Grzeszczyk. "I have 6 children and none of them has a name.
None of them have a vowel among them."
Said Zimbabwe resident Grugs. "With just a few key letters, I could be George Humphrey. This is my dream." The airdrop represents the largest deployment of any letter to a foreign country since 1984. During the summer of that year, the U.S. shipped 92,000 continents to Ethiopia, providing cities like Awawua, Ayolia, and Ao with vital life-giving supplies of L's, S's, and T's.
I'm sure we will hear letters of complaint from the international community. Yes, indeed.
That's great. That's very clever.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Darlene calling from Orlando, Florida.
Hi, Darlene.
Darlene, how are you?
Oh, I'm good.
You know that the name Darlene was in the running for Donna. I mean, Donna and Darlene were the two of the names considered for the archetypal Camaro driver.
Yeah?
Yes. We have concluded that the majority of young bubbleheads that drive Camaros or Firebirds are named Donna.
Uh-huh.
Bubbleheads.
But bubbleheads. It's a euphemism for bimbos. But Darlene was right in the running.
Oh, my God.
By grace
Darlene,
of God, you escaped.
Come on, Darlene sounds like a wonderful, sweet person. You're insulting her.
I'm not insulting her. I'm just an observation.
Darlene, did he not intimate that you are a bubblehead, as he calls it.
Right. Well, wait till you hear my question.
I'm on your side. I'm on your side. No matter what you have to say, I agree with you.
Go ahead.
All right. There's two male friends of mine, and they're giving me differing advice. So, bubblehead that I am, I called two males to see which advice I should follow.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear their whole story.
So you want two males to give advice about the other two males.
Right. Okay, first of all, there's a gentleman that I was dating, Dr. Frank, okay? He's a dentist.
We'll just call him Dr. Frank.
Dr. Frank.
Or Frank.
Obviously a smart man. He's a dentist, right?
Yes.
He has some very expensive toys. He has, like, two vintage Corvettes, an antique Cadillac. He comes picking me up in the Mercedes convertible, and...
Has he proposed yet?
No.
All right, well,
no, she dumped
okay,
him.
Okay, but here's what was strange. When filling up at a self-serve station, and this has happened several times, not just one car or another.
Yeah.
I know the question.
What?
I know that he burps the car.
He bumps it with his hip to remove
How did you
bubble.
Know that?
And he fills it to the brim, so it cannot possibly hold one drop more of fuel.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's Bob.
Bob, yeah. Okay. Bob. What's Bob do?
Not Dr. Bob, just Bob.
No. Bob is a starving poet.
Oh, yes.
He is a brilliant man. Brilliant.
Yeah. Is he cute?
Oh, they're both cute.
They're both cute.
He owns like an 89 Dodge Caravan, and he takes really pretty good care of it, but he doesn't have any toys or anything.
Yeah.
He told me to stop filling. When the pump clicks off, stop right then. That if you put too much fuel in the gas tank, it puts a strain on the fuel system. And especially living in Florida, you need to allow for gas expansion.
Well,
the heat.
So which one of these two do you think is right?
Well, now, my thinking is, just because Dr. Frank has four or five cars doesn't mean he knows how to take care of them.
Doesn't mean he's got four or five brains.
Well, my mechanic has four or five teeth, and I wouldn't want him doing a root canal.
I mean, not to get off the subject.
The dentist has four or five cars. The mechanic's got four or five teeth.
But teeth are overrated.
Okay, well then, I have to question Bob's judgment, because he is responsible 2 years ago for forcing me to listen to Car Talk.
You have had a checkered background of real wackos. Darlene, what is it about you that attracts these guys?
Well, they're brilliant, so obviously they're
brilliant.
Attracted to me.
Yes,
they're
of
cute.
Course.
She goes for cute. You should never go for cute.
Well, I will tell you that Bob is right.
Yes, of course he is.
Bob is right. And Dr. Frank.
Dr. Frank is wacko.
And this wasn't influenced by him forcing me to listen to Car Talk, right?
No,
certainly not.
No, well,
although we
not
were
much.
Favorably disposed toward Bob from the very beginning here. No, the truth is that, as you know, when things get hot, they expand.
Right.
And so does gasoline. And a lot of times you may have even seen cars, especially in Orlando,
right.
where it gets real hot.
Right.
If you fill the car up to the top and park in the sun,
yeah.
Then the gasoline expands and it will leak out of the gas tank.
Oh, I've never noticed.
Yeah, it probably won't leak out of the tank, especially if the cap is on tight. But what it will do
it
is
will
it will force gasoline into the charcoal canister, into that part of the emission system, which is designed to capture the vapors.
Oh, that little overflow thing.
But when the gasoline is filled to the tippity top, it'll actually push liquid gas instead of vaporized gas.
And foul up the whole canister.
And screw that up. So Bob is right. When the pump says you're done. As a matter of fact, if you look in most owner's books now, it'll say, don't top off the gas tank. When the thing shuts off, hang the thing. And they didn't have to do this years ago because, well, no, maybe they did.
Well, the truth is,
self-serve gas stations have become very popular. And people don't want to go to the gas station any more frequently than they have to. So they figure if I can get an extra gallon in, over my whole lifetime, I can make like three fewer trips to the gas station.
Yes, and that brings out the issue that Dr. Frank sounds like a real anal retentive kind of guy. He's trying to reduce the total number of gas station trips by one out of a lifetime. And in his cars, which don't have this canister, they're all old cars, those tanks will overflow.
Oh, okay.
So Dr. Frank, brains or not, teeth or not, is completely wrong. And Dr. Bob, the starving poet, the starving poet, that's almost redundant, isn't it? Hey, Darlene, you are a sweetheart, and you don't deserve either one of these guys. You deserve much better than either of them.
Tell me I'm not a bubblehead.
You're not a bubblehead.
You certainly are not a bubblehead, but Dr. Frank is.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dinesh from Los Altos, California.
What's your name?
Dinesh.
D-I-N-E-S?
D-I-N-E-S-H.
Dinesh.
Correct.
From where?
Los Altos, California.
Los Altos. Where is Los Altos?
It's right in the heart of Silicon Valley, just south of San Francisco.
So you're a computer nerd, huh?
No, actually, I'm a trader. I used to be a trader. I trade commodity futures, those heating oil and stuff like that.
Oh, you're the guy that fleeced me out of about $5,000 last year.
No kidding.
Soybeans. You do soybeans, too?
No, you know, no, I don't fleece people for $5,000. I go for the big money.
For the big money.
$1,000, $1 million, $5 million.
That's chicken feed, and he trades that, too. Oh, excellent.
So what's going on, Dinesh?
Okay, what's going on is, after doing this crazy trading, my wife and I and a friend of us, we're going to be going to Death Valley next month and try to walk the whole park.
That sounds like a great idea.
That's why they call it Death Valley. Yeah, so the four of you are going over to Death Valley. That's good.
We're going to walk 180 miles.
Really?
We're only going to walk during daytime.
Oh, that's smart, too. That sounds good. Okay, go ahead. We're listening.
And we're going to have three cars. We're going to park one car at the beginning of the day's walking. The second car will be parked at the end of the day's walking. Third car is going to be parked right in the middle of the two cars.
Sure.
And that's where we're going to have our water.
Yeah.
So we're going to start from car number one, walk 7.5 miles. Mm-hmm. Get some more water from the car and continue walking another 7.5 miles till we reach the third car.
And then you all jump in car number three.
Right.
You drive back, you drop one guy off at car number one. He drives it ahead of car number three. And then you pick up car number two and you drive it 7.5 miles in the middle. And
here's what you do.
And you keep doing this all day.
Here's what you do. You buy four treadmills. And four sun lamps. You can do this whole trip in your backyard.
Yeah.
And have the garden hose there. So what's the? Is there a question embedded in this insanity?
Yes.
What?
All right, these cars are sitting there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Now, we are in the north end of Death Valley where hardly anybody ever goes in winter, let alone in summer.
Nobody's crazy enough to go there in the summer, Dinesh.
And now the question is, if one of these cars, for some reason, break down, we are in big doo-doo.
Not big, deep.
Jeez. So what I want to know is, what's likely to happen to these cars that are going to be sitting in 125 degree for 8 hours a day for 15 days?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, because you're only going to drive a few miles at a time with them.
No problem?
No. If you were driving all around Death Valley all day long at 130 degree temperatures, you might experience some kind of difficulty. But if it's just mostly sitting there... I mean, think about, what if you left it sitting there forever? What would happen to it? The paint would fade.
And the buzzards would eventually...
The buzzards would come.
Eat the car. The biggest danger that you encounter is having the car overheat. As far as it's sitting there, the tires aren't going to get... I mean, what's the average? I mean, how hot could it be? 130 degrees in the sun?
Yeah, it is.
125 in shade.
In the shade.
In the shade, so maybe 150 in the sun.
Yeah.
What are you, nuts?
Well, you know, I want to be first at something.
Yeah, that's great.
Everything in the world is done. You know, somebody climbed the Everest.
That's
Columbus
right.
discovered America. There's nothing left for me.
So you want to be the first Indian American whose skeletal remains are found in Death Valley. Is that what it is?
Well, that's okay, too.
Okay. That would be a first.
That's
sure.
a first.
You're going to be the first to walk across... Death Valley.
In summer.
In the summer.
In the heat of the summer. We definitely, you know what we need? We need a series of pictures. We need day one when you're at 0 miles.
Yeah.
We need a picture of you and the rest of the group. Okay, yeah. Maybe you can get a lizard to take your picture.
And Guido the guide. So if you would like us to chronicle it for you for the world to see,
okay.
So that when you reach the end, we can have a big celebration saying that you were the first to do this, send us a whole series of pictures.
And the log. We want to know everything that's gone on. All your misfortunes, good fortunes.
Exactly.
Well, we better send it every day in case we don't make it.
Of course.
Of course, yes. Email us.
Okay, I have one serious question.
Yeah.
Somebody told me I should crack the windows of the car while they are parked there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the reason for that?
Because it's going to get mighty, mighty hot in that car.
As a matter of fact, there are little fans you can buy that are solar powered that you can stick in the window. So you roll the window down a few inches and you put this fan in there. And it'll keep the car cool.
Because it'll get hotter inside the car than it is outside.
And you run the risk of blowing out a window if it gets that hot in there.
Exactly.
You may come back and find one of the windows shattered.
So we should crack one or two windows or all the windows?
Well,
you can leave all the windows wide open. No one's going to steal anything.
Well, with my luck, somebody will be just passing by and take everything.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck.
Dinesh, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
I look forward to the pictures.
As they say, nice knowing you.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
I think he wants to be first at something. And he made enough money from suckers like you buying pork bellies that he can go do this. He didn't mention that those three cars that he's got, they're all Porsches.
Oh, yeah. We knew that. All right. It's time to take a short break.
How short?
Real short. Like just a minute.
Oh, too short for a nap.
Right, exactly.
I'll have to nap during the next few calls instead.
Well, I'll let you know if anyone notices. We'll be back in a minute. We hope.
Yeah, we can do the back roads. We can do the highways. Put it in four-wheel drive. See you in the morning. Think of you at night. I can't get you out of my mind. Baby, I'm a wondering. Sure, I'm a thinking. Do you think it'd be all right? I'd ride a Hollywood, your honey, little box. Said, honey, can I stay all night?
And even though listeners wonder whether they've got some kind of weird one-hour virus whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and 30 years of wasting perfectly good hours. Now, this week, we've asked you via social media and elsewhere to tell us what moments most stuck with you, or as we put it, were least intolerable. And a number of you asked to hear from a guy who appeared several times over the years, repeatedly evading our call screeners. Somehow, I don't know how he did it, and here he is. 8255, hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Daniel in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Yes, Daniel in the Hudson Valley of
New
York State.
This is a familiar sounding Daniel.
Daniel Pinkwater, the famous Daniel Pinkwater of NPR and book fame.
The same.
The one and only.
The one and only.
Now, you may recall, we have spoken previously.
Of course I recall. It was right after you published Fish Whistle.
Once we discussed my theory of displaced misery.
Yeah, I remember that regarding Peugeots.
The proposition that if you own a French car, no further ill luck can befall you.
Right, you are pre-disastered.
Yes.
Right.
After that, you assisted me ably in the case of the mysterious flashing dashboard in the car I purchased from five brothers, all named Mike, from the Mystic East.
Oh, yes, the five Mikes. I remember.
The case of the five Mikes.
Yeah, that sounds like it should be a Conan Doyle mystery.
Yeah.
So what's the next chapter, Daniel?
I have the next chapter for you. This is a problem that I've actually solved.
Yeah.
It's well known that I am circumferentially challenged.
Yeah, you told us that.
And it is a cruel fact that even if you've been fat all your life, you still get middle-aged spread.
On top, to add insult to injury, so to speak.
Additional.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this resulted in my having difficulty in gracefully entering and exiting my car.
Yeah. It I think that Honda Civic was not the right car for you.
It got so I had to run at it.
You have to grease up your body and get a running start.
Oil me up, hon. I've got to go to the store.
Grease me up. I'm either going to swim the English Channel or I'm going to go get a quart of milk.
That wasn't the worst. Getting out in a parking lot, I would draw a crowd.
Yeah, you can't get a running start getting out.
No.
Yeah.
So I decided I had to find something that was rotund accessible, all right?
Yeah.
So I began checking out various vehicles.
Yeah.
And my experiences were, well, they were painful in many cases.
Uh-huh.
I can imagine.
I can report, for example, that the Nissan Altima is not for the diametrically disadvantaged.
There was a
tense moment in the showroom where it looked like I might have to be kept in there for a while. So I found a 1985 BMW 735i.
Oh, yeah. Aye.
This is about as big as BMWs get. Doors like a church.
That is the car for you,
so
Dan.
So I'm looking at the car. Along comes a man, a Mr. Moriarty.
Yeah, Professor Moriarty.
Salesman.
Yeah.
And says, you know, we can get you in this car with no trouble. And I said, that's what I hope, obviously. So we did some trial entrances. I was able to gracefully enter and seat myself. So now I wanted the car very much.
Mm.
Bought it. This car has got a seat memory.
Yes.
Press the button, and the electric seat will adjust itself to the position it remembers, in the case of this car, from its first owner.
Yeah.
Who was a guy, I'd recognize him if I saw him. He's got a 19-inch inseam and arms like a gorilla. So I had plenty of time to read my owner's manual.
Yeah.
I have it before me on page 3-07A.
Yes.
Heading Ski Rack, Technical Modifications, and Keeping Fit. And I read from the manual. Stop the car at intervals and try a few of the gymnastic exercises we have outlined for you on the following page.
This is so on your way to the slopes.
On
you
pages,
stop occasionally and you do the exercises.
On pages 3-08, plant B, Keeping Fit, we have a dozen diagrams, which include 1, swinging the arms. 2,
swinging. I like that.
Bending forward. 3, the hula hoop movement. Repeat 10 times. Bending over sideways is 4. 5 is raising one arm up, which we won't go into that one. Then we have others, the windmill, the deep knee bends, the 15 jumping jacks.
So have you tried all these?
Of course.
Of course.
And?
And?
On page 3-10C.
Yeah.
An important contribution to journey fitness is made by correct nutrition.
I mean, this is an owner's manual, huh?
That you stay fit. You will not eat the greasy cheeseburger on the French fries. You will eat the fresh fruit on the rye crisp. Well, you know, in the time I've had the car, I've actually lost a lot of weight.
And now you don't need this car anymore.
Now I don't need it anymore.
You can trade it in for a nice Saturn.
Exactly.
Gee, I don't have, my owner's manual's never had this level of detail.
Now, you know, I got a hold of a owner's manual for a 5 Series BMW, already a pretty classy car.
Sure. But not a patch to this.
There is nothing about calisthenics. There is nothing about the rye crisp and the fresh vegetables. This is only for the elite.
Well, you know why? I mean, they make so much money on these cars. They want to make sure that you live long enough to buy many of them.
Yes.
Or at least to finish the payments on the one that you bought.
Daniel, you are an incorrigible wise guy.
Me?
You, me?
Hey, why don't you come to Boston sometime and have a cup of cappuccino with us?
I will motor up in my sports touring sedan.
Yeah. Daniel, always a pleasure talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Daniel. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot for calling. Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dana. I'm calling you from the country which produces your very, very favorite cars.
France!
England! Portugal!
Oui, bonjour!
France!
Where are you from in France, Dana?
Oh, you can tell by my accent. I'm Canadian originally.
Yeah, but what city are you in?
Oh, here! Oh, in a town called Fontainebleau, which is just southeast of Paris.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Oh, they have
it's in Miami Beach,
the Fontainebleau Hotel! Anyway... What's up?
This is one of those, I'm calling for a friend who is too embarrassed to call you phone calls. You want the long, sad story or the short, sad story?
Oh,
the longer the better.
Sure. Yeah.
The long, sad story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
When was he born? You know, start from when he was born and all that stuff.
Was he an ugly child?
Oh, that would be a long, horrible moment. Let's call him Hans, just to make sure you'll hear why at the end of the phone
Hans.
Call. I shouldn't use his real name.
Yeah.
He's a German engineer, by the way. He was living in Berlin when the Berlin Wall came down. And he and all of his friends all went in the middle of the night and stole pieces of the Berlin Wall and brought them home and put them in their front garden and acted like good West Germans and et cetera. And this piece of the wall was in his front yard until about, I don't know, 2 months ago. And then he got accepted at this fancy business school in France, which shall remain nameless, and wanted to show off this piece of the wall here.
Yeah.
To impress people. And he borrowed his father's BMW to drive down here. And they put all his stuff in it, put the piece of the wall in the trunk. And it's been there for 8 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't figure out how to get it out of the trunk.
Oh, because it's too heavy.
Yeah. And they forklifted it in there, but they can't get it out. And he's been lying to his dad for about 6 weeks now about why he can't bring the car back.
Let me get this right. They used a forklift to get this into the trunk.
Yes.
I could understand that. If you use a forklift, you got to get underneath the thing.
Yeah.
But you can drop it into the trunk, but then you can't use the forklift to get it out.
This is one of those big 7 series, and it's new. It's like a year, not even a year old.
So do we have any idea how much this thing weighs, this piece of rock? Is it igneous rock?
It's East German produced reinforced concrete.
It's concrete.
Yeah.
So it's denser than rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got.
And how big is it?
Well, it basically fills the trunk with about, you can get the trunk closed. It's about, maybe a foot and a bit thick and 3 foot and a bit long.
Oh, my.
Oh, this God. Probably weighs a ton.
I got it.
I know you have it. He can't get anything underneath it. I mean, it would be nice if you could get a chain underneath it, and then you could lift it out with an engine hoist even.
No, he's going to have to remove the trunk lid.
Right, and the 2 rear fenders.
No, you
and
might
slide it out.
No, you just jack up the front and it'll fall right out.
How about that?
Yeah.
Now, they're going to have to use buoyancy. They're going to have to fill the trunk.
They'll float the concrete. Is that it?
They're gonna, you know what they're going to fill it with? Mercury. There you go, right?
Buoyancy's good. I like buoyancy.
I like buoyancy. Mercury. You fill that trunk with mercury,
and you'll
blow that suspension.
That hunk of rock will jump right out
it
of
will.
It.
It will. You'll have to watch out. You might land on your toes.
Yeah. Well, no, and the paint job will look just like it did before you got the car, right?
Here's the solution.
Yeah?
The solution is they're going to have to obviously remove the trunk lid. That it just unbolts. That comes right off.
Okay.
And they're going to have to then drill into the block. They're going to have to do some accurate measurements because they don't want to drill through the floor of the trunk.
And into the gas tank.
But they're going to have to drill far enough into the rock.
And screw a hook into
and,
it.
And put no, and put in a piece of rebar, a U-shaped piece of rebar that they're going to epoxy in place.
Sure. And then they'll lift it right out.
And then they'll get it halfway out. And the rebar will break. But that's his only chance. But I like the mercury idea.
Yeah, flotation is good.
Flotation is good. Any construction company will be able to help him with this problem.
Yeah.
Right.
They can just drill a couple of holes, put the rebar in there, epoxy
it. First of all, Hans is a German. And secondly, he's an engineer.
Yeah.
He cannot lower himself to go and ask for help. That's the real problem.
Then the mercury is it. I'm, okay. I'm exhausted. I mean, I come up with two brilliant ideas.
Yeah. No, I mean, once they take off the trunk lid, they will be able to get it out. Tell them to call a piano moving company, and they'll have it out in half an hour.
Oh.
Yeah. Either that, okay. He's going to buy a ton of suction cups. See you, Dana.
Okay, this might be a good one for Stump the Chub.
Indeed.
Oh, boy.
We'll try the Mercury first, and if I'm well, we'll...
As they say in France, bonne chance.
Okay. Merci beaucoup.
Good luck.
Bye.
Let us know what happens, will you?
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Arup Gupta calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Ooh, you have to spell your first name.
It's spelled A.
R O O P.
R as in Robert, U as in Umbrella, P as in Peter.
Yeah. Arup.
Arup Gupta.
Right.
So, where are you calling from?
From Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Enjoying the wonderful Arizona winter now.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, it's nice and mild there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's good. That's why you call us, to just make
talk
us feel bad?
Actually, I have a kind of a seasonal problem in my Nissan Maxima.
Okay.
And the problem is that immediately after the summer, I hate to say during the monsoon season because we have so little rainfall in Phoenix.
Right.
But that would be monsoon in India.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, especially when I'm taking a left turn, I have a kind of waterfall from just underneath my glove compartment on the right-hand side of my car.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. I mean, I have checked the fluid that comes out. It's clear, odorless. It's non-viscous.
Right.
I haven't tasted it.
It's just like water, I bet.
Just like water.
And you know why? Because
it is water.
Uh-huh. Mm.
The water is coming from your air conditioner, in all likelihood. And what happens is when you run the air conditioner, which you certainly ran during the monsoon season because it was hot and sticky, right?
Right.
The air conditioner's responsibility is to remove moisture from the inside air, from the air inside your car. That's what keeps you nice and comfortable.
Right.
And in doing so, it must eject that moisture out of the car somehow, and it drips from the evaporator onto the ground. In fact, if you look at not your car because yours doesn't work, but if you look at other cars whose air conditioning is functioning properly, you'll notice that water is dripping out from the car, and that water is the moisture that the air conditioner is removing from the passenger compartment.
You may even remember that before you had this problem, if you parked the car after driving for a while with the air conditioner on, you'd see a little puddle somewhere very close to that side of the car where the leak now is.
Right.
So the evaporator is condensing the vapor, and it's supposed to leave the car, but it isn't because the drain is plugged up. You need to have your evaporator drain roto-rooted.
Roto-rooted?
No, I mean,
It's simple, a coat hanger.
Well, your mechanic will go in there. We have a big, long nozzle with compressed air, and we blow compressed air in there. There's probably leaves or junk or dead rodents or, you know, anything could be
there
be
stuck. There aren't any leaves in Phoenix, are there?
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever, you know, cactus needles or something.
Yeah. This is relatively simple, Arup. You're a very fortunate man. This is simple and inexpensive.
Really simple? So yeah. I can just take a coat hanger and...
No, I would let my mechanic do it.
Okay.
It's not easy to find.
Yeah, well...
Actually, my car is still under extended warranty, and I wanted to find out before the next monsoon season when my warranty also would run out.
No, this is not covered by your extended warranty.
Okay, as long as it's a simple problem and it doesn't cost me a bundle of money.
No, it shouldn't cost more than a few bucks, 20 or 30 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if they say it's going to be a lot more involved than that, then take it someplace else, because it shouldn't be.
Okay, I'll quote you on that.
Quote us indeed on that.
All right.
Good luck, Arup.
Thanks a lot.
Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you, too. Bye-bye.
1-800.
Don't you love Indian names?
Yes.
I mean, I could say Arup Gupta all day, and it would make me happy.
Go ahead.
It's sort of like...
Like a mantra.
Like a mantra. Instead of Om, I just say Arup Gupta. Say it again.
Arup Gupta.
Isn't it great?
Arup Gupta.
I love it.
Arup.
Arup Gupta.
All right, is it time to take a short break?
Must be time for my memory exercises.
Why are you doing memory exercises?
I can't remember why I started doing.
We'll be back in a minute.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around.
And even though the NPR elocution coach sobs into her chamomile tea whenever she hears us say it, this really is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and listener retaliation. This week, we're celebrating 30 years on NPR by asking you what you want to hear. And yes, we did note that the top vote getter was the week in 2006 when we both had laryngitis and were unable to speak. But a close second to that was some of the hate mail we received. Now, my brother loved reading our hate mail on the air. And a lot of you remember this particularly precocious letter from a little twerp named Melissa.
Dear Car Talk, I just want to warn you that if you don't do something about that show of yours, I'm going to tell the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. By the way, this is written in what seems to be a child's handwriting. Wouldn't you say? Maybe not.
No, I don't know. It's hard to know.
I'm going to write, tell the EPA to put a ban on your program. I'm tired of you polluting the airwaves with all those dumb jokes. I think your show is absolutely awful, and I'm sure that there are others who agree with me. Mm. It would also be greatly appreciated if you would stop saying, "Don't drive like my brother," at the end of each program. I've never seen either of you drive, but it can't be that bad. Finally, you say that you run a mechanic shop. I don't believe you. Nobody in their right mind would let either of you work on their cars. Signed, Melissa Peterson, Seattle, Washington. P.S. You might get more callers if you didn't insult the ones that you got. P.P.S. My dog hates your show.
You all right?
P.P.P.S. You said you wanted more mail. Well, here it is. I hope you're satisfied. Woo! Talk about venom!
Wow, that
good was grief.
That was pretty potent. Well,
that was.
It'd be hard to top that one, wouldn't it?
It would. That's what I call fan mail. We get 1,000 of those a week.
But it's good to know that. I mean, she thinks that much of us that she wrote that lengthy letter.
Did. Hey, I asked for the mail, didn't I?
You got it.
I'll take anything.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Christy.
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 Wait. Don't tell us.
She's going to tell us where she's from. We're going to tell her how to spell it.
I'm from Chicago.
From Chicago. Oh, so it's just C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E.
T-Y.
T-Y.
Yeah, right, that's what he meant, T-Y.
That's
yeah.
what I meant. Yeah. See, if you had been like from...
Like from some other place.
Like from L.A.
K-R-Y-S-T-E. I-E.
No, E.
E-E.
Not the way a cheerleader spells it.
Right, that's a cheerleader spelling.
Yeah.
You got it.
So what's going on, Christy?
I want to ask you guys about a car problem that happened about 15 years ago to my dad's old Citation that I was driving. I've been feeling bad about it for a while, and I just kind of like to find out exactly what happened.
You want closure. They call this closure.
Yes, it is closure. Yeah.
This is something that's been plaguing you for 15 years, causing you nightmares.
Is it something he's been blaming you for 15 years?
Well, no, he doesn't really know. I mean,
but there is still reference to it after all these years?
Well, yeah. I mean, the car died, and I think he was kind of surprised.
Lay it on us.
Okay. I was driving. I was about 16 years old, and I was driving from South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, it was your fault.
Well, shut up. Okay, I'm driving. It's a 19, I think it was about a 1982 Chevy Citation.
And
ugly,
what year would this have been? This would have been like 1982.
This was in 83. I think the car was maybe a year old.
Yeah, so you're driving from South Bend to where?
I'm trying to get down to the Indiana University down in Bloomington, Indiana. It's about a 4.5-hour drive.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, I drive for about like half an hour, and the temperature light starts kind of coming on. I mean, it's kind of coming on, it's going off, it's coming on. It's not doing it in any kind of consistent way. You know, it'll blink on for a while. And so anyway, I was just like, okay, this is an electrical problem. So forget
so it's like, this is a glitch.
Yeah, right. Because we've had some glitchy cars before. We've had some real lemons. So I'm like, this is just another weirdo car thing.
Yeah.
So I go into the glove compartment, get out a piece of tape, put it over the light. Because I just don't want to be dealing with this.
Were you listening to our show at that time?
No, I didn't know you guys were. Were you guys on the air that
Well, yeah, we used to sell the special tape, in fact.
Yeah, we still have it. Yeah, so you put the tape over the light.
I put the tape over the light.
Keep driving.
I keep driving. Well, I start losing acceleration, but that doesn't really stop me. I keep going until the car actually just stops. I mean, I can't actually go any further.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like in southern Indiana, and I get towed down to this little mechanic shop.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They put a new thermostat in the car, but they told me to go back to South Bend. They're like, this is, you know... They said this is like a Band-Aid, but, you know, go back to South Bend. And, of course, I didn't. I drove another 3 hours, went down to Indiana, you know, Bloomington, drove back the next day, 4.5 hours.
You drove down to Bloomington because your boyfriend was there, right?
I had a party to go to down there. I was young. So
you turn around, you drive 4 hours back.
Yeah. And you know, the car was fine.
The light is not on.
Oh, no.
Tape's off and the light's out.
Light's not blinking anymore. Problem solved.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I get back to South Bend, and, you know, I thought everything was fine. Those mechanics just fixed it, you know, thermostat problem, whatever. And my dad then got in the car to go to work. He works about 10 minutes from our house, and the car just blows up. It just, like, it just stopped.
Oh.
The engine block was almost melted together. It was a major, major problem. And my dad was just utterly confused, and, of course, he came home and asked me if anything happened, and I said, I don't know, gosh, you know.
Ooh, yeah. Car ran like a dream all the way down and all the way back.
So what I'm trying to figure out is why did putting a thermostat in do, and did I really ruin his car, I guess? Or was this just a random thing that two
random my foot. You wish it. You overheated the engine.
Because
okay.
because the thermostat was malfunctioning, and when the light started to come on, it was telling you the engine was running hot.
But
you
why
ignored
didn't it. Just stay
it
on.
Huh?
Why didn't the light just stay on? Why was it going on and off?
Well, it was probably staying on after you put the black tape over it, but you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So the light was staying on enough to let you know that the thing was overheating, and the engine got hotter and hotter, and you began to melt the pistons and melt the rings and deform the crankshaft and stretch out the connecting rods. And then when they put the thermostat into the new thermostat, you must have just averted a meltdown by seconds.
Oh, you think? Oh, yeah.
I think so.
How you made it back for how you did another 6 hours of driving is somewhat miraculous, actually.
Oh.
And you are right in thinking that you had nothing to do with it, but you're wrong.
And it can only be attributed to the fine engineering of this Chevrolet engine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? I always thought that was a crappy car, but maybe not. Huh?
And well, it was after you got a hold of it.
You know, when people say that the engine melted, typically what happens is you throw a rod. It's very common. And you did that. You are absolutely responsible for this engine.
Yeah, when the thing gets really hot, what happens is the bearing material will melt, the connecting rod bearings and the main bearings. And then you'll have low oil pressure, and the bearing will start, because the bearing is melted, the connecting rod will start slapping against the crankshaft, and next thing you know, the thing breaks because the bolts can't hold it, and the engine is toast.
Oh, okay.
Everyone knows that when that temperature light comes on, you stop.
No, not everyone.
Because
no,
not everyone knows that.
Because driving with the temperature light on is the kiss of death.
Is Dad still alive, or did this kill him?
No, he's still alive.
Well, how do you feel now? I mean, now that we've told you that absolutely,
well
almost without a doubt, you were responsible for the demise, the very early demise of this wonderful car that Dad had.
I feel bad because he really never knew what happened, and he just thought it was just another bad car.
What if we told him? Would that be bad? Would it be cathartic for you?
Now, Christy, I think you need to resolve this. I mean, just knowing, your knowing is not enough.
You don't think so?
We need Dad's number.
But you know.
We need his number.
Is he home?
Okay.
Go ahead.
He's at work.
We'll take the number off the air, but we're calling Dad at work.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And what's his name?
It's Richard.
Richard.
Right. How old is Richard?
Richard.
He's 60. He just had a birthday. He's 61.
61. He probably would be retired now if he weren't still making car payments. They offered him that early retirement, but he said, no, I got to pay off this Buick that I'm driving.
We're going to try to get him. Can you stay on the line,
sure.
Christy? I mean, you don't mind confronting him about this.
He's got a real bad phone manner. I'm just warning you.
Oh, don't worry. So do we.
Okay.
Okay, we're dialing him now.
Okay.
Christy, do you know if Daddy-O knows us?
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm.
He does?
Yeah, our whole family likes the show.
Cool.
In that case, he's likely to hang up on us or not.
Dick Conklin.
Hey, Richard.
Yes?
This is Tom and Ray Magliozzi from Car Talk.
Oh, I'm blessed.
Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily?
No.
We were just talking to your daughter, Christy.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, you know, she called to cleanse her soul.
Okay.
She called to describe to us a little incident that occurred in 1982 with your Chevy Citation.
You may not remember this. You may have tried to block this out.
Yeah, seared, I think, is a proper verb.
Yeah. She said it like through a rod.
You threw a rod.
Through a rod.
And you have no idea why this happened. Your suspicions all these years?
Lack of oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you know anything else about it?
No.
You don't know all the dirty details.
There are some things that pater familias doesn't want to know.
Yeah, okay, we're going to tell you all the details. She was driving the thing to Bloomington. You knew that.
Yes, I knew that.
And along the way, the temperature light began flashing. You didn't know that.
No,
you didn't
know
that.
She's never told you this.
And it was annoying.
She kept driving without any water in the radiator?
Well, worse than that. She put black tape over the light because the light was
blinding. At least you can laugh about it, Richard.
And she finally coasted into a gas station with the engine glowing. And the two guys that were there told her that she probably had fried it, but they would put a new thermostat in and send her back home.
Oh, wonderful.
She didn't go home. She didn't take their advice because the light went out. She went to the party down in Bloomington, then drove all the way back to South Bend the next day.
Ooh.
And gave you the car, making you think that everything was just hunky-dory. And she's been living a life of sin,
deception.
Crime, and deception.
Well,
now, I think you would ask, if she recounted the story to us correctly, you would ask her if anything unusual had happened on her trip, and she denied it.
Yeah.
She said, no, fine, nope, no problems.
Well, she can't live with this lie
she's
anymore.
She's with us right now, Dick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Christy?
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Sure.
Hi, Chrissy. Chrissy, you didn't tell him about the broken axle on the 1966 Buick.
I didn't break that axle.
Come on, Christy, come clean.
About
the new radiator on the 1984 Nova.
Now, Dad, you bought me that broken axle car for $500 and sent me, like, on my merry way. That's why that axle broke. That thing was a lemon.
Sure.
Tom and Ray, you've got to realize that my daughter is the car is what Alban Berg is to Melody, you know, the expressionist conductor.
Yes.
Well, whatever.
Look, boy.
The country ought to be thankful that she's now in a city with decent public transportation and doesn't need to own a car.
So you don't hold it against her that she withheld this crucial information all these years.
Well, not in this public forum, you want.
I love my daughter. That's
you love
my
your
only
daughter.
Comment.
Isn't it something?
Thanks, Dad.
Is Christy your only child?
She's my only daughter.
She's my only daughter.
Only limits tester.
Well, Christy, I mean, do you want to make like a formal public apology to Daddy-O, both for wrecking his car and for living this life of deception for 15 years?
But I've suffered. suffered for this.
Well, so
well,
it did.
You have suffered.
You didn't suffer any more than my pocketbook at the time.
Did it cost a lot? I can't remember.
Fred and Jim's garage bought a boat.
For each of them.
Right.
It was terminal. It had to be reconstructed from scratch.
Oh, yeah, no, it's terminal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think this warrants a full-scale apology.
Oh, come on, you guys.
Come on, Christy. And some groveling and maybe a few tears. Like, Dad, I'm sorry.
It's 15 years ago.
There is no statute of limitations on deception to your father.
Oh, my God.
And there's no statute of limitations on forgiveness either, Chris.
Oh, God bless you,
see?
Richard.
Isn't he nice? Okay, I'm sorry, Dad.
Boy, that sounded real heartfelt. Sorry, Dad.
Sorry.
Hey, that's as much as you're going to get out of it.
It sounds that way. Well, she's your daughter, not ours. Good luck.
Thank God.
Okay,
hey, Richard, you're a wonderful guy.
Oh, thanks much.
Have a nice day.
Okay, you too.
See
you.
See you later.
See you, Christy.
Bye,
okay,
Christy.
Bye-bye, guys.
Try to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Christy. See ya. Ski park.
Yeah, we'll leave you two to chat. Bye-bye. Oh, don't I love solving these little familial conflicts? Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Siam roast lamb, boiled ham, pickled spam, candy yam, minced clam, battered ram, quince jam, and candy gram grand slam, is John Bugsy Lawler, who is supposed to be in the building today.
No.
He's here. Oh, my God. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Hey Would You Buzz Off. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our videographer from the Tel Aviv office is Shlomo Replay. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Buddy Rich wannabes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't forget, don't drive like Rainy.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the FBI starts a least wanted list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.